This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's been traded to the Pirates. Here's the 1-1. And a line drive base hit into left field. 1-0 Tampa Bay. Christopher Morel singles home Caminero. Aranda goes to third and still no one out. Here's the 0-1, and he chops this one into center field, a base hit that will score two. Jake Mangum has two hits. Meza, the pitch, and that's hit hard the other way. Sawinski is back, and it is over his head. Up against the base of the wall into second base with a stand-up RBI double goes Caballero, 5-0 Rays. And people up here, and there's a swing and a miss, and the Pirates go quietly in the night. They get one run on the evening, and they fall to 1-4. The Rays are 2-2. Final score, 6-1 Tampa Bay. On the
He could have stopped at the Pirates go quietly. That seems to be the theme of it for a long, long time here. Many years, as a matter of fact, and yes, we're going to get to that. Yes, we're going to get to Aaron Rodgers and the fact that Tom Pelissero, I mean, do we really need Tom Pelissero to say all signs are pointing toward Aaron Rodgers? The guy's cutting videos of workouts with DK Metcalf. You know, I mean, somebody had to take the video, and it wasn't like they were doing it from a cave, so to speak. It was wide open and meant to be out there. I don't know that we need Tom Pelissero for that. But there's something else on my mind today. City Limits, Bob not here on Tuesdays, as we all know. I know you're disappointed. We'll get over it fast. I'm back from vacation. Had a wonderful vacation. Did not see Ron.
Oh.
Which was sad.
I was hoping that you were going to.
Yeah. But I didn't call him. Shame on me. Although he snuck back into Pittsburgh at times and hasn't called me, so shame on him too, Limits. How are you?
I'm doing well, Joe, and it's good to see you again. I'm glad your trip went well.
It's better to see you. The question on my mind today is what the hell happened with Cabali at the owner's meeting? I mean, this thing honestly has taken off on social media. I put out a mailbag every week, as you know, in the Post-Gazette, and it was rife with Cabali questions. Was Cabali on illegal substances? Was Cabali sleeping? What was Cabali thinking? Did Tomlin wake up Cabali? Why is Mark Cabali my favorite journalist of all time, says somebody called Bitter Pro. Which is a better avatar for each team's sad state? Cabali's Zap Snoozer film with Tomlin or the droning Pirate promos? And they talk about, I think, one with Jared Jones. Lots of Cabali talk here. Was Cabali sleeping or was he not? The world needs a final determination. The photo, the videos are alarming. and incredible. I'm sure you've seen them, Limits. The photo, if you didn't know better, and maybe you do, and you took that photo and just pulled over, 500,000 people, like sent out a mass tweet or email or something or text and said, everybody vote. Is this human being sleeping or not? 490,000 of them would say yes. Kabali claims otherwise. And then it seemed at another point that Tomlin noticed what was happening and turned toward Kabali, who then snapped to attention. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. And I actually tweeted at Kabali, you good here, at Mark Kabali, to which he responded to me, and he didn't respond to a lot of people at first. It was 7:45 a.m. Cut me some slack.
What
wow.
does that mean, though? I guess he did go on with Dorn and say he wasn't sleeping. Do you believe him?
No, I do not believe him at all.
Neither do I.
Not at all. Like, he was he was at least daydreaming and starting to fall asleep. He might not call it, like, asleep, but he was starting to fall asleep, yes.
And then he piped up with an unbelievable question about DK Metcalf eating candy bars. Would you like me to recount that, or do we have that?
I would love for you to recount it, even though, actually, I don't even need you to recount it. Here it is.
Apparently, we have the same appetite for candy, me and DK. You hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Apparently, he eats 4 or 5 candy bars a day.
Really?
Not me. That's what he said on a podcast.
He wears it a little differently than you.
It's a great line by Tomlin. He wears it a little differently than you. I'd love just to see off-the-cuff Mike Tomlin more often, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I love the friendly banter between Kabali and Tomlin.
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah, has anybody, do they get a follow-up with Tomlin? Can anybody ask Tomlin for a reaction to that whole situation with Kabali?
Tomlin was sweating during that entire interview. Maybe he was nervous to be in the presence of the great Mark Kabali.
I know. He was sweating like the pilot in Airplane, that famous GIF. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, Limits? Of course. And
where the guy is pouring buckets of sweat. I don't know what happened here. It certainly wasn't over Kabali, was it?
The McAfee Show also got a real kick out of Mark Kabali and falling asleep.
I saw Kabali, by the way.
Yeah.
Not wearing a suit.
Kabali.
Yeah, the world saw Kabali. Yeah, can you post that photo of Kabali sitting next to Mike Tomlin? One of the most important press conferences that's happening at the owners' meeting is Mike Tomlin speaking about Aaron Rodgers, and all anybody can talk about is how damn good Mark Kabali is.
Wow.
This guy is incredible.
What are you doing, Kabali? Like, is this an act from Kabali? Did he know that he was going to be caught? Because there have been previous press conferences.
It's not an act. It's absolute. That I'm sure of.
Well, there have been previous press conferences where Kabali has gotten caught in a situation similar to this. But since his newfound fame with the McAfee Show has put him on a higher pedestal. Like, he had been daydreaming in other, like, it's like a once a year thing where there's a video of Kabali, like, daydreaming, or he's looking at the ceiling and he's looking at something, or his tummy is rumbling or something.
How did you pronounce that word that he's on? He puts him on what? A pedestal. No, it's a pedestal. It's not a stool.
Pedestal?
Pedestal. He puts it right. Am I right or wrong about this? This guy's going pedestal early in the show?
Is this like Santa Claus and Santa Claus?
Yeah, but this time you are absolutely wrong. Is your thinking here that it's a stool?
Yeah, I thought it was stool, right?
Oh, no.
Is it not?
It's a pedestal. He puts him on a pedestal. It's not like a little miniature stool that you would put somebody on figuratively. But that's okay. After all, I'm the Santa Claus guy.
I think we should ask Grok to pronounce it for us.
Yeah, maybe. Who's Grok?
Grok is the AI algorithm for Twitter that we make those Aaron Rodgers photoshopped pictures in the Steeler jersey.
We should do that, but we digress here. Just incredible with Kabali. And like the one guy said, why is he my favorite journalist? I think because he doesn't take any of this seriously. None of it. He's just Kabali. And he's a lovable teddy bear, isn't he?
Just Kabali.
Right.
He is a lovable teddy bear.
It's like so many people would be, especially if they got the front row seat. Was that the problem? Did he sleep out for that seat and he was still sleeping?
Oh, he was definitely there pretty early because there was like a 4-row deep reporter pool
He beat out everybody. He beat out Joe Rutter, Judy Batista. Was Rappaport there? I don't know. Kabali had pole position at the Tomlin address. and fell asleep.
He's at the main table here.
He's at the main. He's the only guy.
It's like he's sitting next to Tomlin. Right. Like if this was like a dinner at a round table.
Right.
And you were just a guy standing by or an observer that
That's
was walking
exactly
by.
Right.
You'd
yes.
be like, wow, Tomlin and Kabbalah are having dinner together. They're having a conversation.
He worked hard for that seat, but maybe too hard. And eventually fell asleep. But that's why they love this guy.
Yeah.
And that's why we love him. Because that's what he is. He's a teddy bear. Right? You just want to hug him while he's sitting there sleeping for the Tomlin address. And then asks about DK Metcalf and candy bars.
Tomlin looking at him and Kabbalah just immediately like piping back up to relevancy.
No, that was great.
It's like when you're starting to fall asleep and somebody says like, Joe, and you're just like, what? And you got to get your bearings back with you?
I am.
Where am I?
Exactly. I am sad that we don't get more of off-the-cuff fun and funny Mike Tomlin. Really, because he is genuinely humorous and fun and funny. You know, he endears himself to people.
Yeah.
With lines like that. Can we hear that again when Kabbalah pipes up with the candy bars and Tomlin just... He fires a grenade back at Kabbalah, but it's a felt-tipped grenade.
Tomlin
right?
ripped him.
Apparently, we have the same appetite for candy, me and DK. You hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Apparently, he eats 4 or 5 candy bars a day.
Really?
Not me. That's what he said on a podcast.
He wears it a little differently than you.
God, is that great?
And how about the laugh in the background? Tomlin, he's still going.
That is just well-delivered by Tomlin. The tone, the rhythm, everything else. It was thoughtfully rhythmic there instead of non-rhythmic. I mean, it was spectacular.
Is Kabbalah high on the list of reporters that Tomlin likes? You know,
I don't know about that.
We have that list of reporters that irritate Tomlin the most. Do you think Kabbalah would be on the opposite list?
If I had to guess, maybe. Yeah, he's a harmless fellow, isn't he?
He's not like Benzie?
No, Benzie is an animal. Coming off the top ropes at the ends of those news conferences. You have that little clip when Tomlin and everybody else at the Steelers thought they were home free at the last news conference of the year. And Benzie comes flying in, you know, from the top of the arena and lands with a, was George there for the Christmas Day game? Do we have that one?
Mike, is there any accuracy to the report that Pickens was late on Christmas Day to the game against the Chiefs?
Man, that's a few days back. I really don't know. I have the answer to that, to be quite honest with you. I got
a little bit different than the jovial, quick thinking Tomlin we heard yesterday. So no, I think that Benzie's very low on the list, perhaps last, and that Kabbalah is high on the list. Very harmless man, as I said.
Yes.
And a fun-loving man.
Very fun. Very loving. We'll talk to him tomorrow about it.
Yeah, and we'll get to the bottom of that in his own way. I guess Doran kind of already did, at least got Kabbalah's side of the story. That doesn't mean, though, that we got to the bottom of this. There's both sides here. I may have to text somebody like a Joe Rutter or a Judy Batista to get a front-row account of what they were looking at. You know what I mean?
Yes. That would be great. A secondhand point of view of Mark Kabbalah falling asleep at the news conference.
Exactly. We need a lot more on this. Perhaps a documentary. We can do a mini doc here on The Fan. But that's not what I came here really to talk about today. Aaron Rodgers will be on the docket. Is this Aaron Rodgers' day? I still think this is going to happen on April 9th when Pat McAfee comes here. I think it's already a done deal. I do, and I don't have, please, I don't want to see headlines on aggregate sites that says Steelers, quote, reporter says Rodgers a done deal. That's just my eyes speaking to me from what we're seeing and all the signs. It's not based on hard and fast information. I mean, he did a workout with DK Metcalf. You can find many NFL players in Southern California to work out with. But to work out with him and then make sure it gets on social media, I think there's a buildup that's going to lead to that McAfee live event in Pittsburgh. And I honestly believe that's where it's going to happen. But it's going to happen. And we'll get back to it. I mean, other than that, what is new about this? What's new? I guess the workout. But as far as opinions on whether Rodgers is going to be good or bad and things like that, we'll get to all of that. That's still not the story of the day. as we approach 10:19. You know what is the story of the day limits?
I have a guess, but I think you should tell us.
Wrong. It's the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yes.
They're the story of the day, and Shelty Watch is the story of the day, whether anybody likes it or not. Listen, we've all watched baseball for many, many years around here. I'm talking to everybody out there, everybody at the station, everybody everywhere, you know, unless you're 3 years old. And if you are, I doubt you're listening. So we've all seen that 1-4 can turn into 5-4 or 8-8 very quickly. There's 157 of these things left. But really, with the Pirates, it's a continuation of what we've seen with this regime. And more to the point with Shelty, they got two good pitchers. Now, they called up Thomas Harrington, so hopefully they have one of their own tonight. But they're facing Shane Baz. You may recognize that name. And another good pitcher tomorrow. And then the Yankees for three. So this could very, very easily turn into 1-9 or 2-8, and then all of Major League Baseball will be talking about Shelty Watch. And it's not really about how much of this is his fault, all of that stuff. It's the fact of the matter that if you start in a year where, by his own words, it's time to win, and you start 2-8 or 1-9, or, you know, does this morph into what, 8-20, 11-20? We're not there yet, but as Yogi Berra said, sort of, it can get late early out there, limits, and we could be on official Shelty Watch soon if this doesn't turn around soon. Now, to pronounce this team dead, we're five games into the season. Like I said, we've all seen enough baseball to know that that's a little bit silly to pronounce them dead, but who really expected them to be alive this year? Like, alive for things that matter. Everybody I saw picked them for last place, and they're not disappointing so far. I think there were two people from CBS who said second last place. So what about this is surprising to anybody? That their leadoff hitters are 1-22? Their leadoff hitters in the first five games have been Tommy Pham, Ji-Won Bae, and Adam Frazier. This is year six, Ben Cherington? Really? That's the best you can do for year six as your leadoff guys? Pham, Frazier, Bae? Are we surprised that the bullpen stinks? Who couldn't have predicted that if you watched last year? Like I said, this is basically an extension of that. I thought David Bednar wasn't the closer anymore, unless he is. And we all saw what happened. Are you surprised that they're not playing good fundamental baseball? Nobody who watches this team regularly is surprised by that. Nobody. And you certainly can't be surprised that there's no ramifications for them not playing good fundamental baseball. Like, I'm with Bob Smyzik, longtime Post-Gazette columnist who looks at some of these ridiculous mental mistakes, like O'Neill Cruz throwing home twice when he shouldn't have and allowing base runners to take an extra bag. I'm with him who says, basically, you learn this stuff in Little League, that's on the players. I agree. But what about the accountability? That's on the manager. Like, it's not on a manager to teach a guy, yeah, if you can't get a guy at home, just throw to second so they don't get an extra bag. That seems obvious. Or if you're Ji-Won Bae the other day, I was in Florida. I literally tuned in. I swear, I tuned in for 1 minute. And in that 1 minute, I came back from the beach to our little place. I turn on the TV. Of course, it's on local television because it's the Marlins. I see Ji-Won Bae tweak a hamstring. He stays in the game. He goes to second base. And then he attempts to take third with two outs in an inning in, I think it was a tie game, on just a ball that bounced in right in front of the catcher. It's like, what are you doing? I don't know if Rabello waved him or not, but what are we doing here? And there's never any ramifications for anybody. Does anybody ever get benched, yelled at, anything? And I'm not big on, yeah, that'll make a difference, you know, with the roster they have if somebody gets yelled at. Okay, whether or not it will, why not set a tone early in the season? Like, this crap that has been going on for all these years, that's the end of it. Remember, it's time to win. Is that the quote from Shelty? You can't be surprised either that they have a first baseman who wasn't a first baseman until right before the opener and made an error in game one. That wasn't surprising. You can't be... Who's the other guy playing first, by the way, Limits?
Emmanuel Valdez.
Who's he?
They called him up when Nick Gonzalez got hurt. Where's Nick York? Where's Billy Cook?
They had 74 guys try out for first base, and somebody I never heard of winds up a 5'9 first baseman?
Derek Hall, where are you? DJ Stewart, where you been?
And 18 other guys. You can't be surprised that a starting pitcher who wasn't even believed to be in the mix and has been a reliever his whole career was suddenly thrust into the rotation and had a bad start. Can't be surprised at that, can you? And you can't be surprised that they have a third base coach who just can't help himself. Where have we seen that before? None of these guys know the meaning of the word stop.
I think if you ask Rabs, I mean, inadvertent send, I mean, he would take that one back.
An inadvertent send. That was Tommy Pham in one of those extra inning losses. Inadvertent, I looked it up this morning, means accidental. Well, what is this? Rick, what's his name? Mike Ribello? All these guys just want to go, go, go. We've gone from Goey Cora to Rick Gofield to Mike Ribelgo. All he wants is go, go, go. That's it. What do you mean inadvertent? His arm started twirling in a windmill? Is that like the Saturday Night Live character from a long time ago who couldn't stop his leg?
I think if you ask Rabs, I mean, inadvertent send. I mean, he would take that one back.
An inadvertent send. I don't know who was worse. Was it Goey Cora, Rick Gofield, or now Mike Ribelgo? Which guy's the worst here? Limits.
I think Mike Ribelgo is the best nickname.
I don't know. I thought it was Goey Cora. Shelty should show up with a stop sign, like a literal stop sign that these people can hold up. Who was the legendary Rodolfo Castro? You can show up and play the game with a cell phone in your pocket. Give your third base coach an actual stop sign to stand there with. Stop, go. And tell him that the word stop means stop. What are we doing here? What are we doing? He's just waving guys in. It's like Jolie on the Saturday show with Pomp. Anybody who calls gets in. Go, go, George and Washington, go. Fanny and Butler, you're in too. Everybody, go, 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 go. I don't care if you get thrown out in a tie game, go. I don't care if you're 37-year-old Tommy Pham. I can't help my arm anyway. It's inadvertent. Go, go, just go. Everybody go. What are we doing? Limits, what are we doing here? These are tie games. It's obvious the cutoff guy has the ball in his glove and an 80-year-old isn't around third yet. Stop him.
The fundamentals of this baseball team, and we are five games in, a handful of games in. Five, that's it. And you can count probably on five different hands the levels of just fundamental baseball mistakes that they have made, whether it's missing cutoff men, Ji-Won Bae four different times at first base, three times where he stumbled around the base. Oh, I don't know if I want to go or not. Coaching decisions, deciding to bring in Holderman and Bednar in the situations that they did.
I thought we already did that. We tried that.
Disaster.
It didn't work. The season blew up last year with Holderman and Bednar.
I mean,
the season blew up. And then they bring in guys that we never heard of that win competitions. What is happening? What has happened? I can't even explain anything. I look around the diamond. Like I said, I tuned in for 1 minute. My thought was, why is Ji-Won Bae on the roster? Okay, one. Two, why is he still in the game if he just tweaked his hamstring and they need a base runner and they have two other guys on the bench who can run? Three, why is he going to third? When in a tie game, when all the ball did was bounce right in front of the catcher, and he had basically an easy play, and the end of the inning. And then the quotes, the inadvertent send. And then Majinski, it's a challenge, he said after his start. That's why starting pitchers make the money, because it's hard. Yeah, it is. It's hard.
But, Joe, they have young players that are learning. I feel like we've heard this young players excuse.
Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier are young players who are learning. Andrew McCutchen, all these guys are young players who are learning, and I'm not blaming McCutchen
by any means, but the idea
that they're young, this, you know, young, up-and-coming, upstart little engine that could, is just not true. I mean, everything I mentioned and more. Now, could things start to go well? Am I looking forward to Thomas Harrington today? Yes, it's possible. They could win the last two games of the series, right? They got Skeens on the mound tomorrow. Is that correct?
That's correct. It'll be a Keller on the home opener as well on Friday.
So it could change. It's too early to pronounce them dead. It is. It's baseball, for God's sakes. But none of this can take anybody off guard so far. It's just not possible. And there's as good a chance that this can continue as it would stop. Not that their third base coaches would stop anything. So the real story to me right now is that it's not too early to start thinking anyway about Shelty watch. Again, you lose the last two games of this series against two good pitchers. The Yankees come to town. The Yankees. So what are we looking at? If somebody doesn't put a foot down, and even if they do, it's not like their starting pitching's been the big problem here. But as we mentioned in our season preview show, just the Pirates' luck that in an era when starting pitching has never been less important, that's the strength of their team. And we've seen that play out. Their starting pitchers, even before Majinski, we're averaging a little more than five innings and doing pretty well, but five innings does not a baseball game make. You got another four or three and change to account for to try to win the game. And Ben Cherington hasn't proven that he can put together a bullpen. So why should I believe this year will be different? 412-928-9370, 928-9370, off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. While we're on the topic of Shelty, by the way, and maybe I would phrase the topic like this, and I got asked this on the old mailbag as well, is like, what's the hierarchy of blame right now? You have Bob Nutting, the owner. I think it's kind of obvious that that's where we start, right? Because everybody who's hired and everything that happens, happens under his watch. But what about after that? After that, between Cherington and Shelton. 412-928-9370. And yes, while we're on the topic of Derek Shelton, when I left last week, which my last day was Wednesday, I was told that we didn't know yet for sure whether there would be a Shelton show that I did with Shelty here on Tuesdays. Apparently, Andrew Filippone made the announcement, what, Thursday or Friday, that there would not be a Shelty show. Is that right?
Yeah, that is what Bonnie said.
And that has since been confirmed to me. So there's no Shelty show. I don't know why. I didn't get an explanation. Everybody can choose whatever they want to do in life. I'm okay with it. That's fine. It's a shame because I think there's a lot of things to answer for, to discuss, have a little fun, as well, but it's not going to happen. So we move on. I think that the question with Shelty is how long do they move on with him? I think that is a very, very legitimate question right now. Our six pack brought to you by Bet365. Limits. My computer keeps going into do not disturb mode. Do you know how I remove that, or can you help me here?
Yes.
A moment.
I think I can do that.
Every time I need to go back to my computer, after leaving it for even 30 seconds, it's gone. Our friend Bob Smyzik tweeted out that in 2020, which is when Shelty was hired, I think he was one of eight. Now I don't have the tweet in front of me. One of eight major league managers hired that year. All of them are gone except Shelty. And he's losing at a rate that is so prodigious as to be almost incalculable. I mean, I looked up some of the numbers today. And I think he's got the 28th worst record of all time, but that's not even half the story. Here's Smysak's tweet. MLB had 10 new managers for the 2020 season. All are gone except one, says Smysak, Derek Shelton. He adds, that's right, the manager with the worst record, 295 and 418, still has a job. He averages 95 losses a season, says Smysak, and that tells you all you need to know about Nutting's commitment to winning. And if you look up Shelton's number, indeed, his winning percentage is 417. That's 27th worst all time. However, among managers who have worked as long as Shelton, which is 6 years or more, or in his sixth year, that's fourth worst all time. Fourth worst all time? And I'm assuming the other 24 guys were fired before they got to this state of sixth year. And the longest anybody lasted with a record this bad in Major League history limits. You ready for a little story time with Grandpa Joe?
Yes.
The longest anybody ever has lasted with a record this bad was a man named Jack Chapman, who began his managerial career, however you'd like to say that, as a player manager for the 1876 Louisville Grays. Ron was their beat writer, I believe. That's how he broke in. The oddity with that team was they had a pitcher named Jim Devlin who started every one of their games.
Every game.
Yeah, all 68. It would be nice if Shelty had that with Paul Skeens. He could start 162 games. Otherwise, we could be looking at trouble. Your thoughts on the Pirates through, yes, only five games, but it feels like a continuation. And what's ahead? What happens? Not necessarily what you think should happen. I feel like everybody's on the same page there, or pretty much. Whether you think it's Shelton's fault or not, you probably think they should move on. Let's try to dive into Bob Nutting's head here, if he's making the decision, and ultimately he is because he has veto power, and Ben Cherington, if he has any power, although he should be in the same boat as Shelton. What if this team starts, which seems realistic now, 2-8, 1-9, 11-20?
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Limits, let's go to the lines here. We're talking about the Pirates' start. We're talking about Derek Shelton. We're keeping an eye, of course, on the Aaron Rodgers situation. Going to get to that at the top of the hour, a little deeper as to what's happening there. But as I said, it's so early in the season, and yet it feels like a continuation of the issues that were plaguing them last year. It feels like an obvious outcome from their lack of activity in the offseason. Thomas Harrington getting the start tonight. I was going to rail against them having a TBA in game six when they supposedly had this, you know, great rotation. I understand there's an injury, but I was going to say, where are the young guys then? And good for them. They did the right thing there by calling up Harrington. Would you agree with that, Limits? The right thing was done there?
No doubt. I'm honestly kind of surprised that Harrington ended up making the start, or at least is going to make the start. He was decently close to making the roster, but in terms of service time and everything, I wonder if they're going to keep him on the roster. This is just a one and done. I think it's kind of just a one and done, and then he'll be sent back to AAA to get back on schedule with everything, because this would put him in spot for a six-man rotation if they keep him.
Yeah, and the other thing I would like to see them do is start Skeens every 4 days. See, I think Skeens should be pitching tonight, actually. Now, I know last year they went every 6 day, mostly 5 days rest with him, but I think it's time, myself. Every fifth day, Paul Skeens should be out there. Smoke him while you got him, I say. You know, I mean, use him while he's here. That's normal rest for an ace. Is that right?
No, that's right. I think their perspective on the whole thing is they want Mitch Keller to start the home opener, so that's why they're setting it up this way, so that Harrington can debut and it's not like, you know, some pitcher that nobody's really heard of for the fan base. You know, Thomas Harrington's a top 100 prospect, and they rather would stack it this way, one additional day back to get Keller on the opening day, because that's still, in terms of like a baseball purist thing, means something to those pitchers starting the home opener.
It means something more to me to have Skeens going as often as possible. And if the trade is, do we not get Keller opening day, but we do get Skeens in the Yankees series, I'll take choice B every time. But more to the point, you need to win. You need to win. I know it's early. I'll say it again. It's very early. There's 157 more. But you got the Yankees coming, and he ain't pitching in that series. I know he's pitching tomorrow. But my rotation strategy this year would have been this. Paul Skeens is going to pitch every fifth day and will make up the rest.
Very fair.
Maybe that's just me. I also like the move limits of Alexander Canario from the Mets. Now, it's a reflection of the Pirates' desperation here, but might this be a Joey Bart outfielder acquisition? I don't know. I don't want to go too far with it. All I'm saying is this is the type of move that I'm not going to criticize. The guy's been really good in AAA, and he's still young. He's hit for a lot of power in AAA. It also might be a statement that they're already souring on Tommy Pham. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I feel like it's just maybe just because, similar to Bart, there was a guy available that they like that they want to go get. Maybe it's not something where they don't like something on their original roster right now, like Tommy Pham. If they are souring on Pham just 5 games in, that would be a huge reaction, I think. Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect him to come in and be that great anyway.
Again, it's a continuation. It's not that Tommy Pham came here and, oh my God, 5 games in, you're going to panic. No, I saw Tommy Pham last year.
Yeah, and he wasn't very good last year. There's a reason why he played for 3 different teams.
And Adam Frazier the same. And look at the numbers already.
And Jiwon Bae, maybe this is a Jiwon Bae replacement.
Maybe. You know, it's a sensible move. That's all I'm saying with that one. It seems to make sense. I don't know that it wins you the World Series. I don't even know if we're going to see the guy. Is he on the Major League? Is he going to play? Is he in Tampa or where is he?
The no report yet as to if he's on the roster yet.
All right. Well, maybe he won't show up at all. Maybe he got one look at the state of things and said, forget it.
Like Lonnie Chisenhall signed but never played one game.
Let's hit the phones because, again, listen, if this thing starts to go off the rails here at 2-8, let's say, 4-15, I don't know. Anything seems possible, as the great Kevin Garnett once said. When are we on Shelty watch? Limits, who leads us off here?
John. Well,
hopefully not Tommy Pham.
No, John is in Cranberry to start us off.
Hello, John.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you, Joe. I hope you had a good time down south.
Thank you, sir. I did, yes.
So I've called you before. I'm a huge Pirate fan. And it's funny, I called you last year about this, but the lack of situational hitting on this team is, for me, the hardest thing to watch. So a couple of quick notes. So 9 of 43 so far this year in RISP, runners in scoring position. They left 37 men on base in Miami in that series. Last night, they struck out 10 times and didn't have a single walk, only 4 hits.
Ugh.
So here's the thing about Cherington. The issue with Cherington is the lack of the hitting development throughout the entire regime since he took charge 6 years ago. Maybe Gonzalez is the only guy you can say that he's drafted that's shown anything, but he's had injury problems. Reynolds, Cruz were Huntington trade acquisitions. So my blame for this, and I'm not defending Shelty because I think he's lost some games over the years that he shouldn't have. But my thing with Cherington is he's the main problem because of the lack of what he has not brought into the organization offensively. And the other thing too, Joe, is what did they do in the offseason? Pham and Frazier. You have Skeens for probably only a few years. And what do? You go out and get two guys that, let's face it, you know, at one time they might hit, they're pretty much washed up.
I can't argue. I can't argue with anything that you just said. Nothing. I mean, we all know what the budget's going to be. And it's a problem. It might be the problem, but we all know what the budget's going to be. Charrington had to know coming in here what he was working with. And you have to perform some magic within those parameters like the Rays do all the time, or most of the time. And he hasn't come close to doing that. Year six, and the leadoff hitters through the first five games have been Tommy Pham, Adam Frazier, and Ji-Won Bae. Next.
Here is Jerry in Ross Township.
Hello, Jerry.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Got a question. That blunder at third base, was that the last out at the beginning?
Yes, it was. It went to replay review, and then they said that Bae was out, and the inning was over.
Yeah, but you know, there's an old rule in baseball that you don't make the third out of an inning at third base.
Right.
That goes back to Little League. As far as Cruz's throws to home plate, I'm just going to attempt that. You keep the ball low enough that if the catcher sees there can't be a play, the first baseman should be standing in and around the pitcher's mouth, where if the catcher hollers cut, you make the cut, and you try to get the guy at second base.
Right.
This is all spring training stuff.
No. It's not spring training stuff. It's Little League stuff.
I said Little League stuff.
It's Jack Sawinski diving for a ball that I couldn't have caught from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But you're right. And then it becomes the Smyzik tweet about, you know, players are responsible for that. I agree.
Yeah.
Players should know what to do in the simplest situations.
If the ball is in front of you. I don't care if you're running from first to second or second to third. If the ball is in front of you, yeah, you're partly responsible, without a doubt.
But the manager is responsible for enforcing it and for adjudicating such things.
Okay.
And we haven't seen any of that really from Shelty. I don't know. There's no chance that Cruz was benched in the game he rested, was
no.
it?
No.
Then why is he resting limits? Why is O'Neill, are they still managing the ankle?
They shouldn't be.
The guy's stealing bases like Lou Brock. His ankle feels okay.
I go back to what they
seems
said.
Seems okay. I haven't felt it myself. It seems okay.
I go back to what Reynolds said in spring training. It was more so, I think, at Pirate Fest, where he said, we want to have, or at least I want to have, more consistent lineups where, like, I know where I'm hitting every single time, and he's always going to hit second. But basically, the guys around him. So why is Cruz, even if you give him a day off in the field, why don't you just DH him? His bat should be in the lineup 150 times
a season.
All right,
or why don't you discipline him and be like, you know what? We're going to learn how to play baseball here and send these messages early in the season. What are you doing, honestly? And the same thing with some of the boneheaded plays that Sawinski has made and some of the base-running blunders that the team has made. It's like, this is the time of year you might as well do it if you're ever going to enforce it. You know what I mean? So Cruz, he rested? He was resting in the fourth game of the season?
Already. That early in the season. Like, why do they have these scheduled days off that are already planned in one four-game series? For a guy that's one of your best bats. When they do that with Reynolds, they just immediately stick him at DH. So you're telling me they can't have a plan in place for your two best bats where, like, let's say Reynolds, hypothetically, instead of being in the outfield one day, DHs. You can't do the same thing with
Cruz? Well, they should have a plan. Yes,
and make sure that they line up together?
Of course they should have a plan. And, of course, it shouldn't be Cruz resting on day four. Next.
Here is Tim in the North Hills.
Hey, Joe.
Tim.
Yeah, I think the thing for me, and you know, you hear a lot of the you hear a lot of the pundits and some of the Pirates people, you know, like Greg Brown and Neil Walker saying, oh, it's early in the season. And I understand that. I think the frustrating part is all the issues we're seeing is stuff that even casual fans saw going into the season, you know, from roster construction. I've never seen a manager so bad at managing a bullpen as Derek Shelton. So I think you're kind of, you know, for fans, it's like we're in year six. We all saw all of these issues coming a mile away. You know, I think, and then, you know, even with the roster construction, even if some of these guys started hitting, you know, to their career averages, you know, which I don't think Adam Frazier at his age, I don't think Tommy Pham at his age, he's going to do. They're still not that competitive of an offense. So I think for me, I would have no problems if they started considering Shelton, but I think it's just too late with how the roster is constructed. My friends and I are debating, you know, will Sherrington and Shelton be let go before the end of the season? I think Sherrington will be on until the end, but I don't think Shelton makes it out.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder myself, as we've talked about today. I'm truly starting to wonder, would, if this turns in, let's say it turns into 2-8, I think it would absolutely be a topic across Major League Baseball. I think we'd officially be on Shelty watch, because you're right, it's year six. And would Bob Nutting pay people not to work? He's done it before. You know, when he blew out Clint and Neil, he paid them not to work for a bit, if I'm not mistaken, not just the end of that season either. He gives them time, that's for sure, but 6 years is a lot of time. Again, eight managers hired in 2020. One is left standing here, and it's Shelty. I would suggest they win tonight and or tomorrow night before the Yankees come to town, or we could be looking at a truly, truly ugly start. You know, you get to 2-4. You lose your 2-5, 3-5, 3-6, 3-7, 4-7, 5-7. You know, you kind of hang around. But once we look at double-digit losses when you're down around 2 or 3 wins, it just has to be a topic. It is. Oh, my. What do we have?
I got a bell ringer for you here, Joe.
Hold on. Remember the date. It's April 1st. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, this is factual. This is true. This has been reported by multiple different outlets and the best of the best insiders. This is Pitt basketball news, and not good one. Pitt guard Jalen Lowe is entering after 2 years at Pitt.
Jalen, we hardly knew ye, except for the day when I made the baseline shot from out of bounds and no one else did, right, Limits?
And you were teammates with him in that.
I like him. Nice kid.
2-on-2 that we did with Biba Cummings and Jalen Lowe.
Nothing that happens with the transfer portal is surprising to me. Oh. I thought you were going to have an Aaron Rodgers confirmation.
No, the bell ringer is now being sent out to all breaking news that has to do with Pittsburgh sports.
I like that. Well, like every year, it's like fantasy sports. You build an entirely different team. You survey the landscape. You go out and get the best players possible. You spend money for them. And there's really no such thing or very little such thing as building a program. And that's how Pitt used to do it. They would get guys who were undervalued coming out of high school, for the most part, and build a team for 3 or 4 years where they could develop guys and they would become a team. And that's pretty much gone. So Jeff Capel better figure it out on the fly again.